Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't turn it too much that way. All right. We're going to get this mic sorted eventually. So we read this story every second Sunday at Easter. Normally the lectionary switches between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each year we're reading different stories out of the gospel, different experiences of Jesus. But this Sunday, the Sunday after all of our celebrations and our alleluias, the Sunday when we still have the lilies, but some of them are maybe looking a little droopy, this is the Sunday that we read this story and only this story, frequently known as the Doubting Thomas story. Poor Thomas. The only thing he's known for is doubting. But I think there's a reason we read this story with such regularity. I think there's a reason we come back to it over and over and over again. Because really, the Easter story, it is full of people who have moments or days or even a week or more of doubt. Last week we read about the women who were at the tomb and ran back to the disciples to say, "We have seen the Lord." And the disciples thought it was an idle tale, not something to be believed. And then when they see the Lord and they tell Thomas, who wasn't there with him, they say, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas again says, "Did we lose a butterfly? Okay. It'll be fine. It's not a real butterfly. The real ones are outside. They're fine." They say to Thomas the same thing that was told to them, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas reacts the same way they did earlier. So we really can't say Thomas is the only one who's a doubter, right? The thing is, with faith, doubt is always near at hand. Faith is not the opposite of certainty. Nope, I said that wrong. Faith is the opposite of certainty. Faith means believing in something, living into something, without knowing for sure. We haven't had the privilege of Thomas and the disciples to touch Jesus' risen hands, to see the marks where they crucified him. We live a life of faith, not being able to hold on to that physical, tangible explanation. When I heard the news yesterday afternoon, after a weekend at Senate Assembly of joy in the gospel, of experiencing who we could be as the church, and I saw another body of faith hurt by violence, I had a moment of doubt. How could God let such pain exist in this world? Sometimes it's big things, things that make the news. And sometimes it's little things. Sometimes it's just not feeling it today, feeling unsure. These are normal parts of our life of faith. And that's why we read the story of Thomas, the one who is named the doubter for all the other disciples. Because Jesus is there in this story. The resurrected Lord is present in the midst of this doubt. I did a thing I haven't done much since seminary this week, and I actually played around with reading the Greek version, the Greek original of this gospel text. I am not a Greek scholar, but I know plenty of Greek scholars, thank goodness. And there's an interesting thing about one of the verses. It's verse 23 if you're looking in your Bible or in your bulletin, but it's the verse where Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven you." I am sorry. I don't know how to make this better. "And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And the reason I went and read this, and let me tell you what my Greek teacher told me way back when I started my seminary journey, because it's the first class I took. All translators are liars. All of them. Translating a language is not simple. Translating an ancient language from an ancient text is very difficult. And so while this is the translation many scholars have agreed on, I'm here to tell you that I think, and some other biblical scholars, so it's not just me, think that there might be a different way to read this. Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. That part's pretty straightforward in the Greek. But then Jesus says, if you retain any, they are retained. He doesn't say that word, the sins, again. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Done. Good. And then he says, if you retain, or if you hold fast to any, they are retained or held fast. Jesus has just been resurrected when he tells us this. Jesus has just died and risen for the forgiveness of sins for the whole world. Jesus is telling us how we are the church, knowing that there is another who will doubt, knowing that Thomas is outside of the room and he will have these questions, knowing that we as the church for thousands of years will continue to ask questions, he says to them how to be the church. You forgive the sins of others and they are forgiven. We as the church do that together. We confess our sins, we receive the forgiveness of God because we are called to do that. And then Jesus says, if you hold fast to anyone, they are held fast. When Thomas came back from whatever errand he was on, so he didn't get to meet Jesus that day, and when he said, I've got to see it for myself before I can believe it, Thomas was grieving. His Lord, his teacher, had died. The disciples didn't kick him out. They didn't say, sorry, you can't be in our club anymore because we know the truth and you clearly don't get it. They kept Thomas with them, continuing to gather, afraid of what was going on in the world outside of them, but continuing to gather together as a community, holding fast to one another, holding fast to Thomas in the moment of his doubt, until such a time as he could see and understand the risen Lord for himself. We receive the Holy Spirit and we receive the power to hold fast to one another. We gather together and we confess and forgive our sins and we confess our creed together, what we believe. And some days, maybe one or two of us in the room isn't quite sure about everything we're saying. But we're in the room. We're gathered together. We hold fast to one another. And we are empowered to do that by God, the Holy Spirit, who works through us. This is what the church is. This is what we celebrate when we gather together year after year and say something amazing happened. Someone died and rose again and defeated death forever for all of us. That is an incredible thing to believe. That is so big. No one of us holds on to that on our own. But that's not what Jesus called us to do. So we read this story every year and we remember our own moments of doubt, our own moments of not being quite so sure, for big reasons or small reasons. But every year we still gather together. Every week we gather together. We share with one another and we hold fast to one another. So it's okay if you're having a moment of difficulty or struggle. It's okay if people are unable to come into the church for fear or struggle or whatever other reason. We hold fast to them because that's what Jesus called us to do. And then Jesus called us to do one more thing. And this was actually the whole point of Synod Assembly this year. Jesus sends us out. The point of mission statement of Synod Assembly was what happens in the church doesn't stay in the church. We gather together. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive the body and blood of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful, miraculous moment that holds us close. We hold one another fast in our faith, keeping us all tied to Jesus. And then we go out into the world. We are sent just as Jesus was, to show the world who God is. Not a God that divides. Not a God that prefers one type of person over another. Not a God that chooses one group of people and not another. But a God who loved all of the world. A God who works for peace, for justice, for love. A God who does everything in love. That's who we are. That's what we show to the world. So we may be doubting Thomas's some days, many days, some moments. But we are also the disciples who know we have seen the Lord. And we go out and tell the world what we have seen. Amen.